Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Ray Hager and I speak with Fred Lockhun, professor of political science at Truckee Meadows Community College, and J.L. Dean, executive director of the Truckee River Flood Management Authority. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday, trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're always pleased to welcome back to the program Fred Lockhun. He is a professor of political science at Truckee Meadows Community College. I want to point out we are taping this on the morning of June 5th, which is the day we're supposed to sign EDI, but a lot of things happened after midnight last night at the legislature, and I think that we can be fairly comfortable that the session, for the most part, was wrapped up last night.
Yes, it was. Certainly, there was some drama starting towards the end of last week, the last 5 days. That vote in the Senate that called on the CIP, apparently out of order,
seemed the capital improvement projects.
Upset the apple cart and demonstrated that although the Republicans thought there was a deal on ESAs, there was not at that point. And as of this morning, there obviously is no deal on the ESAs.
It was interesting. I mean, the governor seemed to say, without saying it last week, that it didn't matter.
He did. For a variety of reasons, I've enjoyed the Sandoval governorship. It's been refreshing. It's been honest. It's been focused on doing what's right for the state of Nevada more so than on the party. I think since the treasurer was the cheerleader of the ESA process, it was in a difficult spot starting at the very beginning of the session. There is a hate-hate relationship going on there in the constitutional officership. And it was so pushy, it was so over the top, and to get people on the first day of the session to draw the line of how it was going to play out on the last day, I thought was highly inappropriate. This governor kept patient and held it all together, and I think got a deal that's probably in the best interests of the state. We have to be reminded there was a dramatic changeover in the legislature. The Republicans had their run in 2015, but this is a striking Democratic majority in the state assembly. That's who the governor had to work with.
You know, Fred, I see this as the beginning of an ice age for Nevada Republicans. Their big ticket item this session was the education savings account. Roberson, the Senate minority leader, said no ESAs, no budget. That fell apart. They really have nothing they can go home to and say, look what we did for you constituents. And besides that, then you have this 2018 election coming up where there might be some pushback because of Trump against the Republicans. They only need one more seat in the assembly to have a bulletproof supermajority. And the people who are up for reelection in the Senate, there's no way that the Republicans are going to come back and get the majority there. And I just see this not getting any ESA money, I think, is a big disappointment to the Republican middle class. And I think this is the beginning, as I said, because of those reasons, they're going to be frozen out of real power politics in Nevada for the next few years.
ESA was mismanaged in the 2015 legislative session, which took it to the courts, and they lost on the funding source. They knew they were pushing the envelope far too greatly to include parochial. We had been the first state of the union to do that, and I frankly think that if they had had it approved, it would have been in the courts, and I think it would have lost on that point. They had a chance to work with a Democratic majority that was working with the governor and find some middle ground that probably would have been based on need and, you know, and rather than just a gift to people who already can afford to send their kids to these schools. It is a major challenge to the public school system. It's perceived that way. That's the optics of the ESA process. And so really the only ones that have to take credit for this disaster are the Republicans themselves. But yes, I think it does put them in a bad spot for 2018.
What about the community colleges? How did they fare by the end of the session?
Well, I think that we saw not as much attention to the community colleges as the community colleges would have liked, but higher education and education as a whole did well in this budget. The governor has been a supporter of education, and obviously Democrats and Republicans have been there as well. The community colleges have such an important role to play in this incredible economic expansion coming, especially to northern Nevada, but throughout the entire state of Nevada. And I think that there were a number of bills that passed that kind of begin to realize the role that community colleges can play. And it may not be in degree completion. It may be in true training that prepares and transforms a workforce so that it can meet these higher standards and receive higher pay for it. So I think it that was great. The two universities, I think, did very well in the process. We are going to be dealing with growth in the state, and I think that this was a budget that recognized that.
Two of the bigger lobbying efforts, one was the taxicab industry, which has contributed over the years, millions of dollars towards legislators against Uber and Lyft, which have not contributed nearly as much, but have hired a lot of lobbyists. The taxicab industry did not win out in this session. And then pharma, which is still up in the air, that bill is coming back in a different form today, and it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
Well, precisely. I mean, it was an interesting session that didn't play. It was, I agree with Marsha Birkbigler, it was a light session. They could have accomplished so much more. They wasted a good chunk of the session. But welcome to term limits. We're going to be seeing more and more of this. That aside, Uber and Lyft have such public support that I think it's very difficult for politicians to undo what has been a traditional lobbying point. And as such, I think that we'll continue to see this tension point going forward. But that was consumer-driven, and I think that they logically recognized that and backed away from the limo and
what about pharma?
Well, I'm very surprised by that. But I think that given the inability to regulate costs and complete sense of what in the world is going on in the wonderful world of Trump care, that we probably are wise to wait until 2019 to see what we can do.
Fred, you mentioned that the legislature didn't accomplish much and there was some wasted time. What do you mean by that specifically?
Well, I think we saw inexperience. It started with a very first day with controversies involving the Speaker of the Assembly. I think that as it went forward, we just saw a focus first on the Democratic agenda at the national level for, I think, far too long. Everyone that went down there was just observing that the committee weren't getting into the strides. They weren't getting through the hearings. And we really, in the first half, produced probably the least legislation ever and had to grant over 100 exceptions to go forward, exemptions. And so it warmed up, but we have a low volume. I think the governor's agenda kind of got lost. A number of the Democrats' priorities seem to get lost in this process. Gone are the days of Dini and of Raggio and just where it was well engineered and the priorities always got through and they were always timed to fit the politics. That's just sad, but this is the reality.
And that is a result of term limits. And I still maintain term limits was the worst thing that ever happened to us, but it's there and we have to deal with it. But it's going to be another interesting session 2 years from now. Fred Locken, always a pleasure to have you on the program, sir. And we'll be right back.
Sully's Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature build-your-own Bloody Mary bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big-screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion. For romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're pleased to welcome to the program for the first time, Jay Aldean. He's Executive Director of the Truckee River Flood Management Authority. Pleasure to have you on the program, sir.
Absolutely a pleasure to be here.
And, you know, it's interesting because now you get to see, really, the effects of your work. Tell us, for those that are not aware, what the Truckee River Flood Management Authority does and how long it's been in existence.
Well, we were created as an agency in April of 2011, our responsibility, our mission, is to build flood project improvements that will protect downtown Reno through SPARKS, and then any additional infrastructure that we can provide, such as park amenities and things along the river in the footprint of our facilities, we would like to be able to do that as well.
And as somebody who's been observing the weather for many years in the Truckee Meadows, I'm well aware of the flooding problems we had in downtown Reno in past floods, and also in the industrial area of SPARKS. It was in the billion-dollar range previously. This year, with an incredible amount of snow, the river coming down at a rate that is just stunning. I've been over to the new Marriott that's down by the river there to sit there and have lunch and watch the Truckee just pounding away at the Lake Street Bridge. But the beauty of the Virginia Street Bridge, which appears to me to be doing exactly what it was supposed to do, which is not block things.
Oh, absolutely. And you bring up an interesting comment, and I don't know if we'll get into this, but this year is a totally different water year than we've had in the past. We had one similar to this in 1982, but this is not a big storm year. It's just an incredible number of smaller storms that have come. But what that's the effect is, it's completely loaded the mountains, you know, to our west with a lot of snow. We have a lot of water coming down. This is going to be the high water year, or the high water month, for the snow melt this month in June.
Which is quite late.
Yeah, it is quite late, but and that's the reason why the Truckee River, the water master, has all the dams open. Is he's trying to create space in the reservoirs so that all the snow melt can go back and fill them up again.
Yeah, Lake Tahoe would be full at this point if it weren't for the fact that they've got those gates wide open.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But remember, not a lot of water comes out of the Lake Tahoe gate compared to the amount of water that it traps. It can't – what will happen is it just stores there, and it goes up against the sides of the lake, and it creates stream or erosion problems and all sorts of things for those folks up at the lake.
Why was there specifically – what has been done to – make this year a no flood year, because that river was raging And in other, like back in 1997, it overflowed its banks, but this year it didn't. Was it luck, or is it because of programs you've put in place in the past?
I would love to say it's because I'm just a great example of an executive director and our agency shined, but can't say that. We got a lot of little storms. We have about 11 or 12 storm events that all contributed a significant amount of moisture and precipitation. In 1997, we got one huge, huge storm event. It came in the end of 1996 and the first year or the first day of 1997. And with that, we had a fairly large event at the beginning of this onslaught of storm events this year, but it wasn't but maybe a 40 at the most year storm event. And you know, without getting into what the technicalities of why it's called a 40-year storm event, it just means that it wasn't that big of a storm event. The 1997 was greater than a 100-year event, probably in the realm of 117 to 125-year event, which means that it doesn't mean that it's going to happen once every 125 years or 100-year years. It just means that it's statistically that percentage.
And also, we've learned a lot over the years. I mean, when I first came to Northern Nevada and we had this kind of weather and this kind of river flow, you know, debris would stack up against the bridges and really nobody was doing anything to stop that. Now we have construction firms that are hired by the city, et cetera, to get into the river and move this debris so it doesn't stack up. And also you had in past events, for example, the Grand Sierra, as it is now, they have a reservoir that they call the lake, but that overflowed one year and ended up in the airport. So there's a lot of things that have changed since I first moved here back in 78.
Well, you are exactly correct on that. The debris issue was one thing that when they were planning the Virginia Street Bridge, I will take credit for the fact that I was insistent that there be no piers in the bridge. The Virginia Street Bridge, the new design, and to the fact that we've now built a clear span bridge over the river has helped us significantly because that does, you know, delete a lot of losses that occur due to the debris. And even if we're able to expand our project and build the project as we envision it, the only bridge downtown that will remain will be Arlington. And Arlington will still require some debris removal, but at the end of the day, the water will be a lot lower in the channel throughout downtown, and it should be a little bit easier to pick that stuff up.
Just to clarify, now you mean that we're going to replace still the Sierra Street and Lake Street bridges, though, correct?
Sierra, Lake, and Center.
Okay, all right.
And Center.
All right, let's take a break. More with J.L. Dean when we come back.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Chad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Jay Aldean. He's the executive director of the Truckee River Flood Management Authority.
Jay, you know, I was just downtown yesterday, and I don't know, I think I was on Center Street, but the bridge, it was starting to come apart. There was, I could see rebar coming out, and one of the columns next to the road was totally demolished. What are the plans for, rebuilding these bridges?
Well, the downtown Reno portion of our project includes reconstruction of Sierra, Center, and Lake. Lake is the next worst bridge, by the way. Lake should be the next one that we replace. And then it would go to Sierra and then Center. Center was actually replaced in 96, but it was only designed for a 50-year storm event, which is a much smaller than a 100-year event. So downtown, we would replace those three bridges. We also need to replace the Booth Street Bridge that it causes tremendous problems. And what we're going to do with that bridge is replace it with a pedestrian-only or bicycle-only type bridge that we can change the grades and make it work to the neighborhood gradients that are there.
Would that be like the Millennium Bridge in London over the River Thames?
Well, I don't know if it's going to be quite like the Millennium Bridge, but it'll have certainly the same impact.
All right. So what about money? Where's the money coming from to pay for this?
Well, glad you asked. The legislature just passed last night. The assembly did. So now we're done with the legislature, our AB 375, which will create a kind of like a school 411 committee where individuals from the community will be appointed to serve on the committee. The committee will have the authority to develop a question that goes on the 2018 ballot, and we're going to ask the citizens if they want to build this project. If they don't want to build it, then they vote it down, and if they want to build it, they'll stand it up.
What are we talking about? How much money?
Well, the overall project costs about $400 million right now. That's about where we are, a little bit less than that.
And so there's going to be a ballot question in
2018 that will ask the community. And there's a little bit of flexibility here because the federal government has committed through an approved project in 2014. Our agency was able to work with the Corps of Engineers and develop an approved project that was passed by the WRDA bill of 2014, the WRRDA 2014 Act. And that commits about $180 million to the region for construction of the project. It won't come anytime soon, but it will come eventually.
Is that in addition to the $400 million?
That's going to be we'll have a couple of options with that. We can use it to refund a portion of the $400 million, or it can go to take care of other flood issues in the community. Right now, the plan is that at least the board envisions that it will go to reimburse the $400 million.
Okay, the bill that passed the assembly last night, this creates a committee to come up with a ballot question.
That is correct. Yes.
Okay.
All right. One last quick question here. Sparks, the industrial area, it seemed to go pretty unscathed during this season, although there was a lot of sandbagging going on. How much has Sparks industrial area been improved in terms of flooding potential?
Well, the city of Sparks has undertaken the realignment of the North Truckee Drain, which helps lower the flood levels in that area, and it does provide some flood relief to that area. But the overall project needs to be built along with that North Truckee Drain realignment in order for them to get the full 100-year protection that they need. Going back to the earlier conversations that we held, we didn't get that big of a storm event. If we would have gotten this a 1997 event or a 1986 event, we would be that area would be flooded significantly, just as it has flooded in the past.
Just downtown, you're talking about?
No, I'm talking about the Sparks industrial area.
Okay, Jay, that's where we got to leave it for right now. But for the friends in Southern Nevada who are listening to this program, you got to come to Reno and see the Virginia Street Bridge. It's a pretty darn cool bridge, and that's where we got to leave it. We'll be right back.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Business Workers' Comp Company should be your partner. The Pro Group Customer Care Team brings you effective risk management training, support, and web tools at no extra cost to you. We maximize the safety of your employees and business every day. Pro Group is with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with information and resources at your fingertips. We ensure your employee safety and that your premium's in line. When you're a Pro Group member, you have the team that's looking out for you. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Call for a no-obligation quote today.
On our next broadcast, a lot of fireworks after the session. We'll have a round table with Ray Hager, Mary Lau, Paul Enos, Marlene Lockhart, and Joe Guild.